Nancy Lawson is a writer, editor, and naturalist who lives in Maryland, halfway between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. She is the author of The Humane Gardener, Nurturing a Backyard Habitat for Wildlife, and she founded an initiative to help people find that harmony with the animals in their backyards. Tonight, she will appear online starting at 6 p.m. through the Tennessee Valley chapter of Wild Ones. Nancy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about how you got into gardening.
I got into gardening when I was staring down a bare patch of soil in a concrete block behind a townhouse in Baltimore that I was renting, and I wanted to fill it. And so I filled it with the standard nursery plants at the time, chrysanthemums and things like that. And it didn't take long over the years for me to realize that no one was coming to plants like that, and I should focus more on local species if I wanted to see birds and butterflies, bees, other wildlife.
And then as you shifted your focus, what did you learn? What did you get into?
I started to work at the Humane Society of the U.S. around the time, maybe a couple years after I started gardening. And I was a journalist at the time. I worked on their magazines. But I did quite a few stories on urban wildlife issues. And what I started to notice was that a lot of the conflicts that occur between people and wildlife could be solved by planting more plants. So a lot of folks will say, the deer are eating all my tulips, or, you know, the rabbits have devoured my spring flowers, or the chipmunks are eating my bulbs, or something like that. But oftentimes they'll have mostly turf grass lawns and not very much else. And so there's not much to eat. So of course the wildlife are going to go to what's there. And then there's other ways in which, you know, you can use plants as a visual or tactile deterrence. You can strategically plant when you've got a lot of deer in your space or rabbits and have things that they are actually both prefer and don't prefer. So a mixture and a diversity really keeps a lush garden, and a lot of people don't realize that.
And this is part of what you write about in The Humane Gardener, Nurturing a Backyard Habit for Wildlife.
There's the scientific reasons that the more biodiversity we have, the healthier it is for our planet. Native plants also help clean the water. They reduce or even eliminate the need for pesticides. And so there are other reasons to plant these species that have adapted to our local environments. But, you know, a more sort of, I don't know, spiritual, personal reason that I like to welcome these animals to my backyard of all kinds. I mean, from the beetles to the groundhogs to the cuckoo birds, who we just started having this summer. They're kind of rare around here, but because of the habitat we have, they begun visiting. Is the reason that I like to do this is that this is really where home is. I mean, the idea of, you know, moving in and out of your house and getting it ready for sale to other humans and never really paying attention to who else needs to live there and who's been making a life there for decades and centuries, like box turtles and frogs and all these animals that have relied on this habitat right around our homes. It's, to me, just an ethical and compassionate thing to do to share your space with them. And it's also amazing to be able to walk outside and see the sights and smell the smells of what I consider to be home.
Humane gardening, as you describe it, it goes beyond birds and bees and butterflies. And you were talking a moment ago about ethics. Tell us more about what you call the ethic of compassionate landscaping.
Oftentimes, we'll sort of get into this area, we'll get interested in gardening or interested in bees or butterflies or birds because they're pretty, or, you know, they don't seem to be very intrusive on us and really only sort of plant for them or think about their needs and then get upset with other creatures who have just as much right to be here as we do. And so it's sort of a selective compassion, in my view, when you focus only on the animals that you like without trying to understand some of the ones that maybe you're not as familiar with. And once you get more familiar with them, you can see how they contribute. And I'll give you an example. You know, I'll give you two examples. Bumblebees, who are in trouble around the country for loss of habitat and pesticides and such, one of their favorite places for nesting is abandoned rodent burrows. So they might go and find a squirrel nest and make a queen bumblebee might make a nest in there. And I have pictures of that in my talks. Just this summer, I've been obsessed with watching one of my little chipmunk friends who comes out and greets me in the morning, or so I like to think when I'm taking my morning coffee out, comes out from behind the retaining wall. You know, I could see him eating the snails and things like that. And recently he made a burrow under our deck. Chipmunks, if you look online, you'll see a lot of stuff saying that chipmunks do cause structural damage and things like this, but there's really no documented evidence of that because they actually have such tiny little tunnels. They're like 2 inches wide. So they might kick up some plants, but it's no big deal. So in this space where this chipmunk kind of tilled the soil over the last few weeks, I noticed last week that there are little mounds that look like ant hills, but they have big holes in the middle. That's typically a native bee nest because 70% of our native bees nest in the ground. And so I've never seen them nest there, solitary mother bees. I still haven't seen one come out of the hole, but I sent the picture to an entomologist and she said, yeah, I think that's a native bee nest. And I think this is because the chipmunk tilled the soil and made it a little looser so the native bees could come and excavate there. So there's all these interactions that happen if you just pay a little bit of attention where one animal is creating habitat for another one, or the molehills create habitat for mosses to come in and grape ferns to come in. And some of these plants I've never seen before are popping up on the molehills that I leave around the front yard. So it's just sort of about sitting back and watching nature for a little while and seeing what you can do to nurture and help.
What you're talking about is design with your neighbors in mind and knowing your allies in nature.
Exactly. Our wild friends are neighbors too.
Tell us more about the response that you have gotten during this pandemic. Certainly early on, there was a lot of interest and a lot of coverage about people getting into gardening or rekindling their interest in gardening. And I'm just wondering what response, however anecdotal, you have seen over the past 6 months.
Actually, it's very encouraging. I think partly because people have a little bit more time to pay attention and to see some of these animals from day to day, and also to share with each other online. You know, since we can't see in person, we're not spending so much time on the roads commuting to our jobs. There are quite a lot of people learning from various online groups about the plants in their yard, about the animals they attract. And one of the things that I like to promote is learning about maybe what's already there plant-wise. You know, we've got things like pokeweed, violets, fleabanes, common evening primrose, goldenrods. These are some of the best plants for wildlife, but people's typical reactions to them, because they sort of sometimes pop up in a more manicured landscape and look out of place at first, is to take them out. But it just takes one catbird going to that pokeweed, just a sighting of one bird or one bee going to a violet or something like that, for people to realize they're taking food away, they're taking habitat away. And so I've seen quite a lot of that from people having these revelations. And for me personally, definitely been an uptick in folks who are coming to this for the first time, asking me a lot of questions and advice.
And this connects to what you were talking about earlier, the spiritual aspect of this.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Because E.O. Wilson, he's a preeminent ant scientist and ecologist, and he coined this the age of loneliness, because we've caused so many extinctions and so many impending extinctions by our behaviors and actions. And the pandemic certainly exacerbates that if you don't have a chance to go outside and be among friends. And I think I would have had a very different experience during these past few months if I hadn't been able to go out and visit my green frogs at the pond that we made. You know, that was our pandemic project, or you know, go hang out with my chipmunk. It's an antidote to the age of loneliness, and also a way of perhaps even in our small ways in the aggregate, helping bring them back.
What are you working on now? What's your next project?
Well, I do a little bit of habitat consulting, so I've done some of that this summer with a mask on. My next project, I'm working on a book about sensory ecology in your own backyard, the idea of how plants and animals experience the world. And there's a lot more that we're learning all the time. There's so many species that are considered common that we just don't know much about. And plant life and trees and the way that they communicate underground through the mycorrhizal fungi and the way that they communicate in the air through the chemicals that they release through their leaves and all of these things that are going on that are either literally invisible to us or we're just not looking enough to see it are the kinds of things that I've been more and more interested in and I'm going to explore.
And where can people go online for more information about all that you do?
So I have a website, humanegardener.com, and I have also a Facebook page that I update pretty regularly on Instagram. So those places are the main spots where you can see me, and I'm always happy to talk and answer questions and share ideas.
All right. Nancy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
More information about tonight's event at TennesseeValley.wildones.org.